Ice. Tony Abbott talked about ice being the number one epidemic in the country. We've talked about it for a couple of years here, haven't we, how big this issue is. You talk to police about how difficult it is to handle someone who is on ice, high on ice. You talk to the emergency people like Gordy and Fulda. They talk about the issue of ice and how difficult it is.
And yet earlier this week we saw the announcement by the police that they'd busted a drug ring importing ice worth over $1 billion, and yet they privately admitted it won't make a dent on the industry.
We know how bad it is. Last night at Current Affair, they had a woman called Belinda Swift on. She's trying to get her son Josh off the drug ice. He once stayed awake for 2 weeks while using ice. This is one of the many, many stories along these lines. Have a listen.
When you were using it the most, how often would you be doing it?
Every day.
He said that he'd used $1,000 worth in 2 days. So I don't know how much. He was right off the planet. He was scary.
How long has been the longest you've been awake for?
I think 2 weeks.
You're awake for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You must have been crazy by the end of that.
Well, yeah. Sort of start getting delusional and tired and, you know, sort of in a dream state, so nothing's really real.
And that's just one example of what is cutting a swathe through our suburbs here in Sydney.
Yeah, and that's ice. Then you talk about dance party drugs. Four Corners spent 45 minutes on that on Monday night. It's been an ongoing debate about how to deal with this. The Greens have had a long-standing policy where you would be decriminalising some of these drugs. In terms of the dance party drugs, they've talked about some sort of testing regime. The idea of decriminalising ice, I think that's one that really has caught the attention today. How would this work? How would you deal with a decriminalised situation where ice is so readily available? The leader of the Greens, Senator Richard Di Natale, joins us on the line now. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Senator, thanks for joining us. Not surprisingly, there are plenty of people lining up to criticise your policy, but just take us through it. How would you decriminalise ice and why?
So the first thing is that we've got to be really clear about the language, because decriminalise is a word that people interpret in different ways. So I don't think we should be legalising ice. I think it's a very dangerous drug. What our proposal is, and it's a proposal that really has been developed with the input of so many experts, doctors, people in the criminal justice system, people in the drug and alcohol sector and so on. And they are saying that we've got a huge problem at the moment when we put individual users through the courts, it stops them coming for treatment because they have to admit to doing something that's illegal. And it means we're spending a whole lot of money going after individual drug users. It could be spent on treatment. And look, I was a doctor working in a drug and alcohol clinic, so I've seen the damage that this and many other drugs can do to people. And the great tragedy is you often have to wait for, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months for a bed for somebody who's ready for treatment now. And if you miss that window, often you miss it for good. So our policy is very straightforward. It says, let's continue to go after dealers, people who supply the drug. Let's ensure that the police go after them. But there's really no value in going after individuals who use drugs. It's, you know, having the police going after somebody who's got an ice habit just wastes a lot of money. It doesn't stop them from using the drug, but what it does do is it stops us spending money where it works, on treatment and a whole lot of social supports. And so our policy is consistent, not just for ice, but for all drugs, to say, look, We need to keep going after dealers, but we know that putting criminal penalties in front of people who use drugs doesn't stop them from using it. We know that the evidence is really clear on that. So let's make sure we spend that money on treatment and support services. Pretty straightforward, and a policy that's been informed by experts from right around the country.
You mentioned that you've worked as a doctor in some of these areas and in these clinics. Everyone remembers the heroin epidemics of the 70s and 80s, but this is something, ice, we've never seen something of its like before, have we?
No, we haven't. But again, you've got to put it in context. The heroin epidemic, there were people dropping dead on street corners. I mean, at the time, we were very, very concerned about that issue, as we should have been, and as we should be about ice. So they're both very harmful drugs. They're both very dangerous. In fact, risk of overdose with heroin is much higher than it is with ice. People die much more easily on heroin than they do on ice. But ice has a whole set of other problems. People become violent, aggressive, psychotic, and so on. So look, all these drugs have the potential for harm, but who on earth would say what we're doing at the moment is working?
Yeah, I just want to nail down just how your policy is going to work, because you're saying more rehabilitation. We have a drug court here, for instance. So if someone's found using drugs, they go to the drug court, and then the judge, the magistrate, the presiding officer is able to say, all right, well, you have to go to this, and this is going to keep you out of jail. What would you do? How would you encourage people to go to the rehabilitation you'd be setting up?
Well, the model that was... I went to Portugal last year. Portugal had a huge problem with heroin. What they did was they said, let's get the experts to develop our policy. And the policy they came up with was one that we're looking at very closely, which is if you've got problematic drug use, you're sent to a treatment panel. It's made up of drug and alcohol workers, social workers, and people who put you in touch with all sorts of...
So you are sent there, so you have to go. Is that right? You have to go.
That's right. You're basically issued an order for treatment. Now, what that means is, you know, somebody's in the street, they're psychotic, they're issued with this treatment order, and they effectively go to a health panel for treatment. Now, surely that's a much better way than getting our police going after individuals and saying, well, okay, we're going to put you through the criminal justice system. And again, a lot of people aren't going through drug courts. They are going to, they're going through ordinary courts. It clogs up the courts. It spends police are spending a lot of time, and they could be going after dealers, going after individuals with habits. You know, these are the people at the end of the supply chain. So it's just a much more sensible use of money too. And as I said, as a doctor who's worked in this space, the most frustrating thing in the world is when someone finally comes into you and says, I've got a problem. I want treatment, and you can't get them into treatment because we're spending all this money going after individuals to try and lock them up.
Well, we've heard of many cases here in Sydney where there were people waiting for as long as 6 months to get into rehab services.
We've got it back to front. We've got it back to front. And I can tell you that when you're talking about somebody who's got a habit, that very narrow window when they come in for treatment, it can sometimes only be a few days when they finally get to a point and say, I need treatment. And if you don't provide them with a bed and treatment right then and there, they'll often fall back and you might lose them for another 6 months or longer. So it's really critical that you provide the treatment options when people need it. And at the moment, we don't do that. So we have to invest more in treatment, in rehab, in all the social supports that we know work. Right. And if you look at what... I think what people worry about when you talk about criminal penalties, people worry, oh, well, if we take away criminal penalties for individuals who use drugs, then we're going to see an increase in drug use. In Portugal, it just didn't happen.
Would you increase the criminal penalties for those who are peddling the drugs?
Oh, look, I think there's an argument for that. There's an argument for that. You know, I think at the moment, no question, when it comes to individuals who are supplying large quantities of drugs, that we've got to do everything we can to, you know, to throw the book at them.
Richard?
But at the moment, we're focusing on the individuals who are addicts, and that's just not getting us anywhere.
And you know what, Richard, there are probably a lot of your colleagues in the Parliament who would agree with you. There are probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people who would also agree with your argument. But let's just put the cone of truth down. Honestly, do you think that we can have a grown-up debate in this country about decriminalising drugs?
Not if you look at the newspapers this morning. Unfortunately, you know, one of the things that we've done is we've tried to take the heat out of this. I've had roundtables right across the country. I'm meeting with law enforcement people, doctors, trying to have a rational, sensible debate. And then you get this nonsense that we've got in the Murdoch papers this morning with silly headlines. But you've got to have a bit of courage in this business. And my personal view is if I can't do it, as somebody who's worked as a drug and alcohol clinician, somebody who's, you know, been in that setting, if I can't be in the Parliament and advocate for a different approach, then no one else will. So I'm going to continue to take it on. I'll take on the issue in a way that, you know, allows us to have a more sensible conversation. I appreciate the opportunity to do that here, and I hope I can be joined by lots of...
But the drug would remain illegal in terms of production, and it would be, but it wouldn't be a criminal offence to possess it and use it.
Correct. If you had small quantities that were only for your own use, it wouldn't be a criminal offence. And again, just remembering that that criminal penalty doesn't stop the person from using, but it soaks up so much money.
But you'd also be forcing people to go to these panels to try to get treatment.
That's right. If you've got a problem, if you're a problematic user, you get issued with a treatment order.
Okay. All right. Let's see what people think about that. Thank you for your time.
Pleasure.
Richard Di Natale there. He's the leader of the Greens.